All right, Reality Daily, Wyatt coming at you here. Amazing Race Season 36, Episode 3. And I am joined today by Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
Wyatt, always a pleasure to talk Amazing Race with you. And we go to Columbia, off to Columbia.
Yeah. And to me, like, the first thing that stood out to me is that, you know, we know why, right? Most of the people listening know why. But they didn't explain why there was no flights, you know? You have this season in the fall, 35, where they're having to put their own travel and everything. And then you get to 36 and there's no, you know, explanation to the viewer of like why you're just going to like ship them off to Columbia. That's not part of the leg. And I just think it was a really poor decision from CBS and the Amazing Race not to at least explain like why that was the case. I just could see like 60-year-old Gertrude that's not, you know, aware of like why, you know, it is the way that it is and it was all a COVID thing. And she's like, well, why aren't they like, why isn't this part of the race?
Yeah, I mean, they did do that in 34, I believe, where they would just show up on location in the next at the next spot. But yeah, I think that was a little like, You do miss the opening of the clue that says, hey, go to Columbia. And we don't get that in a race like this where it's just there's a lot more off camera work. And especially in a season where it is 90 minute episodes and, you know, you could possibly like, you know, get their reaction to, you know, them saying, hey, we're going to Columbia. You know, what are your thoughts? Like, oh, I'm so excited. Never been before. Oh, I've been before, like, this would be fun. Well, you know, we didn't get that, but maybe there wasn't anything that was warranted in this episode. You know, we did see last week or the previous week maybe about how, oh, like, you know, I've been to Puerto Vallarta before. Like, we know the area and, you know, we really didn't get that with this episode, maybe because there just wasn't any content related to that there.
Yeah, maybe we need a 2-hour episode to get all that in. I just feel like it's just so crazy to go from 34 to 35 to 36 in terms of the travel. And I just think that there are just so many people that are watching that probably are just so confused of why this is happening. Why aren't the people? Because it made sense for 34. You know, people still knew that it was like the COVID thing. But then when you have a season that's not that and then you go back to it, I just think there's a lot of confusion there. So hopefully it didn't piss off enough people where they just tuned it off. But what did make me mad, Jeremy, is we're going to start and we're going to release these teams into heats. And we've seen this in the past, especially with the COVID seasons. But to me, it just makes me so mad, Jeremy, because as we talked about last week, this race is now kind of a little bit of a glorified track meet at certain points. And it's so unfortunate that now you can get first and you're not even getting in a time advantage. You can get second. There's no time advantage. Now you're leaving in heats. It just makes me really upset because I just feel like the Amazing Race should be like, you know, you get in first, you leave first. You get in second, you leave second. Even if it was only a couple minutes in between, I just would like to see them leave one at a time.
Yeah, because, yeah, you should get some, you know, benefit from leaving first, you know, but you're instead you're lumped in with, you know, the top three teams or whomever. I don't necessarily like that as well. You know, at least give them like a 5-minute, you know, straggled start, because at the end of the day, but what it does is it gives the teams in the back a chance to catch up. So like if they were to straggle them by 5 minutes, you've got Team Double Dutch leaving an hour, like, you know, basically an hour before the first team. And in a race like this, where it is that glorified track meet, you know, an hour is more than like Rod and Leticia are leaving an hour before the Team Double Dutch. There's no way they're going home unless they totally fuck up. But I don't think that was going to happen. So that's the benefit of having groups leave in the same time. But I think that, you know, there could be modifications.
Yeah, my thing is like, if they're leaving 15 minutes apart, which I believe is what they had said, then you could have easily just done 5 minutes, 5 minutes for each team. And if that's the case, then the gap between first and last is basically the same. And I think that would just be a lot better.
It's
not basically the same.
It's 30 minutes versus 55 minutes.
Well, if it's, I guess, but I mean, I still think that's overcomable. I still think you can like overcome a 25-minute deficit, a 25 extra minute deficit, especially when we see people switching detours and things like this. I just feel like, listen, you can drop it down from 5 minutes to 2 minutes to 3 minutes. I don't care. I just think that you should be able to leave first. There is no way, shape, or form that you should have 3 to 4 teams climbing the stairs at the same time. It just shouldn't happen. You should have like one team already up there. That to me would have been a lot more fun. It's just like, oh, well, Rod and Letitia left first, but three teams beat them up the stairs because they took so long. That to me is a lot more fun than like, oh, they just lost to Ricky and Caesar in terms of climbing the stairs first. But that made me very upset. But Expedia is going to be doing this leg, I guess. A lot of product placement here. Kind of reminded me of the Amazing Race Canada. Much like Big Brother Canada, they always like to put in some of their product placements. But the first group that we're going to have leaving is Rod, Letitia, Ricky, and Cesar, and then Shalissa and Derek. They're going to head out. They got to climb the stairs of El Pinon, 60 stories, to get a tremendous view. It was so pretty, Jeremy. But Ricky and Cesar is going to beat the athlete and the wife and the former cops up the stairs. I'm telling you, look out for them.
Yeah, look out for them. But yeah, this is a very tough challenge to start a leg on. Right early in the morning, you know, get your steps in for sure.
Yeah.
That's what the Amazing Race said. So steps are in for sure.
I did see some discourse online. Would you have preferred the steps to be like up the way, like go up the stairs to get to the pit stop and where it's at the end of the leg? Or would you rather it be at the beginning of the leg like we saw here?
You know, if it was at the pit stop, I feel like, you know, we would have seen teams, and if it was like a foot race, like we would have seen teams like try to spread themselves out over the stairs and they would have tried to block whomever came in. So I think for those particular stairs, I probably am glad that it was, you know, not at the end of the leg. But maybe if it was like, you know, because like you remember last season when they had to go up those stairs in Slovenia, where, you know, there was like no way to pass a team. Like it was like the stairs were so narrow, you know, that, you know, I think it was Rob and Corey, like they were like covering the whole. So there was no chance that anyone was going to pass anybody. So I think with these specific stairs, you know, maybe it's okay that it's like at the beginning of the leg. But if it's like, for instance, like the Rocky Steps, like in Philly, and they are going to Philly at the end of the season. So maybe there is some like Rocky Steps moment. But like, I feel like for that, you know, you can kind of make it the end of the leg, like where it's a challenge for the end of the leg.
Yeah. When I hear like people blocking each other on the stairs, that gets me excited. Like I want some pushing and shoving. I want like Luke and Maggie from like Tar 18, I think, where they were like throwing elbows at the sisters. That to me is interesting. But I definitely get your point there. The next group that we're going to see is Juan and Shane, Yvonne and Melissa, Amber and Vinny, Danny and Angie. Amber and Vinny, they're going to be Juan and Shane at the top of the stairs. That may be a surprise to some people because they are the military guys and they have to have a good gas tank. But Danny is making sure that his mom is going to hold on to the railing as she takes her time. Love that. Despite the fact that he's a super fan, I love how much he's like taking consideration to the fact, because as I mentioned last week, if it was my mother, I would be like, get up the stairs, like we like keep moving. Like I would be a little bit more hostile than he is being. The final group is the firefighters, the brothers, the cousins, and Team Double Dutch. Sunny is going to unfortunately find out that her grandmother has passed away last night, and that's who raised her. And to me, Jeremy, I really was shocked that they had this because it didn't even seem like a question for Sunny if she was going to continue in the race. But I do think that there were a lot of teams that if they did lose somebody, they would be leaving the race. So I credit to her for, you know, not leaving the race, seeing it through and not taking this opportunity away from a busy. But certainly my heart goes out to her.
Yeah. You know, and this is like the first time we really see a lot of Sunny and Busy, and I think it gives us a reason to root for them as well. We didn't really get that in the first two episodes, so I'm glad that we get to see some kind of backstory with them. And we see throughout the leg that, you know, there's signs there, and it's like the perfect for TV moment. You know, and I don't want to discredit, you know, her feelings about it and you know, what she felt, but it seems like she truly felt connected on this leg and in this moment. So happy that she was able to have that moment and some closure maybe for such a dark moment. You know, there is some light there. So good for her.
Yeah, and I really think there was a breakout episode for them. I think in terms of the stock, if you're judging the teams by stock based on like rootability, this is like probably the biggest increase this episode, because they were so low for, I think, a lot of people, because you didn't get a whole lot of screen time for them. When you did, they were very one note. It was like, hey, we're firefighters, we're moms, that's it. You didn't really get any personality. It was very bland. We just didn't see that. But this episode, we saw several moments, which I think I found to be funny. And I'm sure other people did. Plus, we had the story as well, which I'm sure a lot of people can at least empathize with. Maybe they've been through a similar situation. So definitely, I think their stock has raised a lot, not only in the race, but as TV characters as well. Double Dutch, they're excited to have a fire lit under their ass for being in the bottom. But Sean is afraid of heights, climbing those stairs. And that is going to play out later on in the episode in the firefighters to surprise. They are going to beat everybody else up the stairs. But Jeremy, let's get into the detour here. Our two options this week for the most lopsided detour of all time is Bande Hapasa or Yapo. Teams will do this detour, but they have to go on a water taxi first. In the Bande Hapasa, teams are going to cook a Colombian festival of meats, which is going to consist of rice, beans, chicharron, eggs, carne asada, plantains, arepas, chorizo, and avocado. It's going to be judged by Abuelas, which I don't know if you knew this, Jeremy, but there is a reality show that came out last year on the Roku channel, and I forgot exactly the name of it, but it's like Iron Chef. It's like all these like millennials come in and it's a cooking competition, but the Iron Chef is like an abuela. So you have to challenge a grandmother to cook.
Yeah. You easily choose the cooking one. And, maybe I was thinking that there would be like a limit as to how many teams are able to do each detour. We saw that in the first episode where, only so many teams were able to do the rocking horses and the other team did the wrestling one. So I would say that it's a very like interesting, like, usually they try to make it to where there's enough of, reason to pick each detour. But I think for this one, and some teams, especially at the beginning, were saying how it was such a physical challenge to start the first one with going up the stairs, that it's like, why would we do two physical challenges in a row? Like, we're going to do the cooking one because we want to preserve our energy for whatever roadblock comes into play. So it only made that decision that much more easier. And only a few teams got tripped up by this.
Yeah, and you make an interesting point here where, just this race, we've already seen that they had, cut a small quantity of teams that could do the rocking horses, but this one everybody could do. My question to you is, do you believe that that is based on what the detour is? Like, is it possible that because this detour, the other side of this, which is where they had to load the bare bones Jeep to the brim and tie it down, because it is so physical, maybe they felt bad about basically forcing teams to do it, as opposed to the Lucha Libre thing where they were forcing teams to do it, but that's mental, right? Maybe they felt like, oh, well, like if we get Dan and Angie and they have to load up all of like a dresser into the Jeep, we feel bad about that. Do you think it's just the type of detours that they did it, or do you think they don't even know what they're doing?
Yeah, I think that it was, it wasn't that the Yapao detour was impossible, because it wasn't, but it was just a lot more complicated than the other one. And maybe it was challenging, but I feel like the teams that were trying the Yapao detour, they were so far in the back that they were like, we can't like waste any more time, and this is going to be potentially like the more challenging detour. I mean, if you don't know how to cook, that detour is going to be challenging, and that's what the twins dealt with. But I just feel like with the Yapao one, it's like the top teams were like, we're not going to do two physical challenges in a row. And then you had another one that was, and then you had the people in the back that are like, we can't waste any more time. We got to pick the one that we think is going to be the faster one that is not as complicated. And so I think that explains the whole reasoning behind that.
I do think maybe putting this one, the cooking, as the roadblock, and then maybe doing either the loading of the vehicle or what is essentially the roadblock this episode, picking the cherries and coffee, if that is going to be the detour. I think that may have been a little bit better, because you're right. I mean, like, if you know how to cook, it's a life skill. Not everybody knows how to cook. I sure don't, but most people do. So it's like, hey, you can pick this life skill that, like, most people know, even if they haven't cooked that same type of food, or you can do something that almost nobody has done, which is like load a car to a point where it's like not street legal anymore. It's like tilting. It's like nobody has done that to that extent because it's not allowed where we're from. So I do think that's probably a big part of it, where it's like, hey, it's like, imagine if they had a detour. It was like, hey, wash clothes, or like, you know, load this entire like storage container to the brim. It's like, okay, well, people know how to wash clothes, they'll do that. But let's hop into what actually we saw during this detour. The teams have to find their detour by making a picture, taking a picture from the clue and building from it. Teams are burning themselves left and right here. Ricky and Caesar, the grandparents, and Rod and Letitia, they're going to get there first. But before they do, they're going to get in that water taxi. Ricky and Caesar, they were yelling at the water taxi drivers, trying to get faster and beat all the teams, while Rod and Letitia are doing the same thing. Ricky knows how to cook because he does it for work in his personal life. Once again, I mean, this is another thing that's really right up the alley. You know, we heard, I think it was last week, it was like, oh, well, like, I do drag makeup during the face paint. Now they're doing the cooking. It really does seem that even though they are such a great team, I do think they're getting very lucky with the tasks that they are getting. So I do wonder, is like, are Ricky and Caesar really going to be able to stay in the pack as they get into some legs where neither of the tasks are going to be necessarily suited to them?
Yeah, I think that, but I also think with this detour choice, it had a lot to do with just the previous challenge. Like I mentioned earlier, it was just, you know, and it kind of created for this, like, okay, well, like, you know, every team, you know, almost every team seemed to have some cooking background, or at least they've cooked before. So yeah. I think that was, you know, part of why it was so easy for teams to make that choice.
For sure. And then we're going to see Ricky and Caesar, they are going to complete this first. Rod and Letitia, they will fail on their first check because the plates are disorganized, but they're going to fix it without having to cook it again. I thought, Jeremy, that they were going to make them cook it all over again. Because let's be honest, like, if your plate is disorganized, by the time that you fix it, the food may be cold. So I thought that maybe they were going to make them do the entire thing over again. Doesn't seem like that was the case.
Yeah. It didn't seem like that was the case. But at the end of the day, you know, they found a way to get it done. And that's what you got to do in the race, especially in a glorified track meet. Get it done as fast as you can. Move on.
Yeah, and I did love Derek and Shalisa here. They were killing me. They were arguing, bickering back and forth. She's going to end up cooking like the wrong amount of rice, and he's going to say, damn you. And he's going to celebrate her getting burned. I just felt like this team was so damn funny this entire time.
Yeah, it was kind of wild, but they ultimately got it done. But it took a little bit for them, a little trial and error process, but eventually they figured it out.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, Dane and Angie, they have such a soft spot in my heart. I have to root for them, number one. But this team is definitely number two, just because I find them so funny. They are going to argue, and it's kind of something that we talked about last week, where Derek's going to say, listen, you don't have to be a perfectionist here. You know, C's get degrees, and, you know, he doesn't have to be perfect the entire time. Let's try to submit what we have, and if it's wrong, we can correct it. And I think that that's going to be an interesting thing to follow up on, is if that's something that's going to continue on. Other teams at this point, Juan and Shane, Yvonne and Melissa, Amber and Vinny. Juan is getting emotional because it's a place that he grew up and hopes to be able to bring his family and kid here. It's kind of the only person we really saw talk about Columbia in that way. They're going to complete it on the first try. Amber and Vinny, they're allowed to ask locals what the ingredient is. What I was surprised by that as well. It seems like people were just telling them that we're like working at the stations, and they're going to be able to do it pretty quickly. And so is Yvonne and Melissa. They're going to get no airtime at all, but they are going to complete this with no issue. But then we get to Danny and Angie, Jeremy, and before they can get to the cooking station, they're going to get in the water taxi, and it's going to absolutely break down on them. And this would be my worst nightmare. I think I would have jumped off the boat and started swimming.
Yeah, you know, for a team like Danny Angie, they know they're not going to be the most, they're not, they know they're not going to be the most physical. So for them to get the poor luck on this, it's like it's a worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
But you know, luckily they're able to, you know, they have some lead on the back of the pack. I think they left in the second group, so they come in with a little bit of some wiggle room, and the wiggle room is used here.
We are going to see the first amount of distinction between Danny and Angie as they get they the boat good and they ask Karishma and Kishore, are you guys going to cooking? And they say yes. So Danny's like, we'll wait for you and we'll go together. We'll find it together. And Angie's like, no, we can't wait. And then it seems like Angie's position is like, hey, like they can beat us in a foot race. We cannot, you know, basically wait for them because, you know, we're going to lose to them if it is something physical and that we have to run to a foot race. But Danny's thing is like, hey, like we got to make allies. We got to be able to make it here. And I'm really interested to hear your perspective on this because I think both of us feel the same way about, hey, allies are good in the race. But if you're Danny and Angie, you know you're towards the bottom. You know, your boat just broke down. You're losing time. Is this the best time to really say, hey, let's actually like stop our race? Even if it's just momentarily to wait for another team, as opposed to what they did in the previous episode, where they basically just gave the right directions.
I think in terms of, I think in this particular instance, I think Danny is right. I think it is important to team up with some teams. Would I have done it with Kishori and Karishma? Probably not. Like, I just don't think that they are like a valuable ally at that point. But again, you know, friends are friends, and yeah, you think you can get with them. And Angie and Danny, you know, going into this cooking detour, you know, they know Kishori and Karishma like are vegetarian. They probably don't know some of the ingredients they're working with. So this is a team that, like, you know, if they can help you with the navigation, like, and you both get there at the same time, you probably have a better chance to pass them when they're done with whatever task, with the cooking task. I think long term, Kishore and Karishma aren't necessarily the best allies because I don't think they're the strongest racers. But then again, you have to team up with somebody, right? I think Angie and Danny have to team up with somebody. Like, I think that only helps them. And yes, like, there is that struggle of if you're in last and you team up with a team that, you know, probably will beat you in a foot race. You know, and that's where Angie's coming from, because Angie's worried about herself and she doesn't want her to be the reason why they lose, and her not being as fast as the other teams. And so that's maybe why Angie feels that way. But for Danny, you know, Danny's the strategic mind of the two, and I think he's thinking more long term, and that's why, and Angie's thinking more short term. So
Yeah.
that to me explains like their dynamic, and it explains why Danny is where he's at, and I think that is the right move. I think Danny is leading this team in the right direction.
I think that if you're Danny and Angie, you have to make a real conscious effort to make a decision between the two of you. Are we racing to win $1 million, or are we racing solely for the experience? And what I mean by that is, if you're racing for the $1 million, you have to take risks that are going to jeopardize your position in the game short term in hopes that you end up, you know, succeeding long term. Where if you're just here to run the race and have this great experience together, that every single leg should be treated as its own individual entity, where it's like, hey, let's just survive so we can make it to the next leg and we can enjoy more of this experience together. That's what they have to decide. If they are racing for $1 million, I think that this is the right move to do this, whether it was with Karishma and Kishore, Ron, Letitia, anybody else, it doesn't matter. You make allies because you may need that later on. If you're racing just to get to the next leg, then yeah, working with these teams are going to jeopardize your potential to be able to stay in the leg. So it just comes down to what you're doing here. And for someone like Danny, that's such a super
Yeah,
fan, I
I
don't
see what
know
you're
what his
saying. I think
perspective.
if you're Angie and Danny, you probably are racing more for the experience, and Danny has mentioned that in the past. But then again, you know, the experience is getting to as many legs as possible. And so if you're going to do that, you want to team up with some teams that will get you further into the next leg. And maybe that's what Danny is getting at, whereas Angie is trying to not get eliminated. So that would lean more towards the idea of it being racing for the $1 million. So that again, kind of a difference of opinion between the two of them.
Yeah, it's like they're playing poker, but they're like significantly out experienced. They have less experience than the average person. So you have to go ahead and make big moves to be able to accumulate a big stack to kind of overcompensate from your lack of experience, or in their case, lack of physicality. So I'll be very interested to see how that pans out for them. But Karishma and Kishore, we talked about them earlier. They're going to be shocked to find out that there's going to be any meat there. I cannot believe that they didn't expect there to be some type of meat dealing with Colombia there. But they never cooked meat before. I loved Karishma saying Martha Stewart as she was prepping. They're going to run over to the grandparents and they're going to basically say, hey, what type of meat is this and how to cook it? And they are going to be helped, so alliance forming for them as well. And then they're going to go ahead and present the plate, and the plantains were raw, but they are going to be able to fix that. Listen, they did pretty damn well for a team that has never cooked meat before.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, it's cooking. Like,
yeah,
I think it's not like super difficult unless you're one of the worst cooks in America. But I don't think that Kishore and Karishma are going to get casted for that show.
No, definitely not. I mean, they have the personality to it, but I think they did good enough to be able to kind of not be one of the worst cooks in America. The firefighters are also going to be there. They're going to plan to load the Jeeps, but they're going to switch when they found out the cooking detour was closer to them. They're going to complete it pretty fast compared to the others. The only teams that decided to do the loading is Double Dutch and the Twins. And as they're doing the Jeeps, they're going to have to pack it high and wide. It actually reminds me, Jeremy, of when I used to buy storage units. It's like you kind of have to figure out how to get all this junk into one trip so you don't have to make multiple trips. But they're both decided they can't do this, and they're going to switch detours. And unfortunately, though, the Twins are going to get to the cooking and say, absolutely not, we're going to switch. But then they switch again, Jeremy. What a mess.
What a mess indeed, yes. I was just dumbfounded by this whole moment. And it really ended up being like the defining moment in the episode, I feel.
Yeah, I get the switch. I even get the switch back. But the switch back is what gets me, because now you've seen both sides. Like, you know, the grass isn't always green on the other side, but you've already seen both grasses at this point. So it's crazy for me that they think that. But I think it really comes to come down to this. I think they thought that the loading of the trucks was going to be strictly physical. And I think probably most teams felt that way. But it really was just a puzzle, Jeremy, at the end of the day. Like, yeah, there is some physicality to it that you have to be able to pick up the stuff. But it's a puzzle. And I think that they just weren't cut out for doing the puzzle, and they said, oh, it's going to take so long, it's going to take forever. So they were like, okay, well, let's cook. And they were like, well, fuck, we can't cook. But it's just like, at that point, you know both sides, you know the pros and cons, just pick one. But they're so messy here, and it is going to cost them. But Double Dutch, they are going to finish between the Twins on doing the cooking because it takes them so long. But the Twins are finally going to get it done, and they're going to need to crush it on this roadblock, which that takes us over to El Cordo de Guatape, and that is where we're going to have them taking the tuk-tuk over to Casa Loma, and that's where the roadblock clue is going to be who's feeling picky, and this is the Expedia experience that Phil was talking about earlier. The teams have to pick ripe cherries and process them via husking machine, and once they get 1 kilogram of beans, they can reveal their next clue. Thoughts on this roadblock, Jeremy?
I thought it was a good roadblock because it wasn't like super complicated, but it wasn't super easy either. Some fear potentially coming in, and we saw that with, you know, Team Double Dutch at the end, you know, trying to get to the roadblock itself. And there is some strategy to it. I think Ricky was mentioning it as he was watching Cesar do the roadblock. Whereas, like, you know, people were gonna take the beans from the closer trees, and then they weren't going to be able to access them for the teams that were coming in later. I think it had a lot of elements that make up a good roadblock. So no qualms for me on this one.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'm very happy that we did not get the teams stacking the vehicle as many as we got none. But I'm saying that if everybody was stacking the vehicles, I probably would have felt a little bit different because I would have been like, okay, two physicals again. I'm a little bit annoyed by that. But because we got the cooking challenge and then this, I did think that it was an interesting leg here as well. But it's one of these things where it's like, you can't fail at this. You can only take so long. I mean, I guess you could like, you know, get like 0.9 or something like that, and you have to go back and get the rest. But, you know, it's just a time waster more than it is, you know, can you do this or not? And that's kind of why I don't like it in this type of race where we don't have the travel, is because time wasters are not the task that we should be doing. It should just be like, are you able to get it or not? Can you complete it or not? Not necessarily like you can do it, it's just how long will it take? I do think that that kind of, it makes it harder for teams like Double Dutch to be able to move up in the standings that way. But as you mentioned, Ricky and Caesar, they're going to be the first ones there. Ricky on the first trip is only going to get about half, but he's going to go and do it again. Then Rod and Letitia are going to show up. And much to my surprise, Letitia is going to do the roadblock aside from Rod. Figured because it was, you know, running up the hill and grabbing things, it is physical to a certain extent. I did think that Rod was going to do this. Were you surprised by this as well?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, honestly, no. I just think that, you know, Rod and Letitia, like, obviously, you know, you can only do 6 roadblocks in a race, and Rod and Letitia, they knew they weren't going for first, and this was, like, an opportunity for them to kind of get even and make sure that they have some flexibility going down the line. So I think that's what led to that decision.
Yeah, I think it's a great decision for them, especially being at the top of the pack. And she's going to knock it out and gets it done in third. Then we have the grandparents show up. Shalissa's going to do it for them. They're going to get it done in fourth. No issues with her. Then we have the military bros. Shane's going to do it, and he's getting heckled by Rod. What'd you think of him getting reckled?
What was that?
I said reckled, but I meant heckled.
Heckled by who?
Well, he got heckled by Rod, and I guess Derek was there laughing as well. It was basically saying, like, all the women were the ones that were doing it. It was like a woman's job is the way that I interpreted it, because he was the only guy to do it to that point while all the guys were on the sidelines.
Well, Juan and Shane, I don't think that they could have – I don't think that they had much of a chance to have the woman do the roadblock for that.
Yeah, exactly.
But honestly, yeah, like, what we saw in this one, it was like kind of the group of them talking at the end. And then Vinny's going to get to this roadblock and smoke them all. So maybe the guy should have been doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, as Caesar was saying, the higher you go up, the harder it's going to be. So maybe that's what it is. But then let's get to Sunny and Busy. Sunny's going to be doing it, starts to think this leg is based around a grandmother, as we talked about earlier, becomes emotional. But unfortunately, that sweet moment is going to be ruined when she starts getting bit up by all the ants. But they are going to leave in 6. And then we have Amber and Vinny. They have to push this tuk-tuk up a hill to keep it moving. Do you remember seeing that, Jeremy?
Yeah, I do remember that scene. We didn't see too much of it. We just saw that it was happening.
How does the tuk-tuk stay in business? Because this is like a regular street. Like, if you can't go up the hill, how do you stay in business?
It's a very good question, but I am not the one to be answering this because I do not use tuk-tuks in Columbia. So,
yeah, I would use tuk-tuks if we had them. Like, if we had tuk-tuks as, like, a regular mode of transportation, I'd much rather use that than, like, an Uber or a Lyft. I think it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah, I agree.
But Vinny is going to do it for his team at the roadblock. He's going to crush it. He's going to actually get done second. He's going to be the only person to really shake up these in terms of when you are going to arrive at the pit stop. He said he wanted his team to feel his presence. Jeremy, he looks so damn serious in the confessional. He almost gave me like a little bit of serial killer vibes the way he was speaking.
Yeah. I mean, just a little bit. Just a little tiny bit.
It's like, dude, you picked some cherries. Like, let's calm down. You're not in a fight to the death. Like, this isn't the Roman Colosseum. But then we're going to see Kishore do it for her team because Karishma has the height of Danny DeVito, and she thought that it was going to be because of height, her height was going to come back to bite her. Karishma's butt looks great from here, Karishma says. I think that was probably the funniest part of the episode there. Listen, they're such a fun group. They're going to be able to finish this in eighth, and that takes us to Melissa. She's going to do it for Yvonne and her team. Once again, no airtime for Melissa and Yvonne. I think that they're basically turning into what I thought Sunny and Busy was coming into this episode, where, like, didn't feel like Sunny and Busy were getting any airtime. Now it feels like Melissa and Yvonne are not getting any airtime. I don't know what's with these, like, female teams and getting the purple edit so far, but we're seeing it quite a bit.
Yeah, and you would think with a 90-minute season that there wouldn't be a purple edit. But because in the past, like, I feel like with shorter episodes, like, there wasn't really too many teams that were, like, totally quiet. But that's just, you know, what we've been given for this season. Yeah. So, but I imagine that in the next couple weeks, you know, we will get more from Melissa and Yvonne, from everybody, honestly. Yeah. There are a lot of teams. There are more teams. That's something we haven't really taken into account. But now that there's only 10 teams, maybe we'll see more from them.
I mean, we probably had 30 minutes just devoted to the twins, you know, in terms of them switching road detours and everything. So, you know, that may be it. But hopefully they do get more airtime next week. I can imagine how frustrating it would be to have to wait like a year and a half or whatever it was for this season to air. And then when it airs, you get no screen time at all. That would definitely be heartbreaking. But then we have Danny and Angie here. Angie, to my surprise, does the roadblock here. You know, I figured because it was physical, you know, she's probably been going up the stairs all day. I knew she was tired. She was going to have to go up to the top, like Ricky and Caesar were saying earlier. They're at the bottom of the pack, you know, even though they're not last or anything. I just thought, hey, you're really on the cusp of potentially going home if you can't complete this very quickly. I just thought that Danny would do it. And I know Danny has done the other two roadblocks. I just figured that they would look at the, just to kind of like keep themselves in the race. You know, we just want to have to survive that he would do it here. But Angie is going to go ahead and do it. Does that shock you at all that she was ended up doing it? Or did you feel the same way about Rod and Letitia, where it was like it was obvious that she needed to do it because Danny had done the other two?
I think that they felt like they had enough wiggle room. And that's a risk that they're taking. But at the end of the day, you know, the margin for error is only going to decrease, and putting Angie in a position where she would have to do a roadblock down the line would be maybe a bad decision. So I would say, I think that they made the right decision here for Angie to do the roadblock. If they thought that they had the time, they should have done it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be very interested to hear if they knew how far behind the other teams are. Did they know that the brothers had switched three or four times? Do they know double Dutch flip? I just would be interested to know how much they knew about the gap between them and the other two teams, because Danny seems to have a little bit of anxiety here watching her, because he's like, hey, you know, all these other teams have left. There's only a couple behind us. And he's like, double Dutch is here. And Angie's getting upset because she doesn't want to be told this. She doesn't want to be, she doesn't want the anxiety on her. So she even tells Danny to take a damn nap.
Yeah, I thought that was a funny part of the episode.
Yeah, that was good.
But I was like, take a nap. Like, how?
That's a very mom thing.
Why?
To say
where?
To
when?
Yeah, it's like mom. When are we gonna get to the beach? And it's like, just take a nap. We'll get there soon. That's what it reminded me of. But Double Dutch is finally gonna show up with Danny and Angie still there. Michelle says she will do the roadblock, but before they get there, Michelle is going to slip walking down this hill, and then Sean is going to get so scared, and he's going to be bitching out because he doesn't want to fall. And this is where we get the Phil Kogan CBS Apply Now spot, is when everybody's yelling at their TV for Sean to go down the hill. I really thought this was going to be a bigger issue than it actually was. I thought that he was going to be there for like a long time, and she was going to have to basically like hold his hand, but similar to the episode, that was almost like a real nothing burger. It seemed like she was able to talk him down within a minute or so.
Yeah, you know, I think if they were not in the back of the pack, we probably don't see this clip.
Yeah.
Because it really didn't play much of a role, but it did add to maybe the suspense of, oh, like, are they gonna get eliminated because they can't get down this hill? Like, yeah. So I think that was incorporated there because they were in the back of the pack.
Yeah, I made the joke last week. Is this going to be like the new version of the water slide? Is this going to be where his race ends? But credit to the marketing team for Miz and Race. They really promoted this to a point where I know a lot of people that are casual Survivor watchers who don't watch the Amazing Race, even they tuned in this episode because they wanted to see if this guy actually couldn't go down the hill. So credit to them. But Angie's going to finish up, and Danny's first thought is to hug her, which is so funny because he's like basically rushing her at some point. He's like trying to tell her like all these things, but then the first thing he wants to do is hug her instead of just like run away. I love that so much because I think their dynamic is so fun. And they're going to hug the twins as well when they're getting there. And it's going to be Michelle, who's doing it for Double Dutch, against Anthony, who's doing it for the twins. Shout out to closed captions. I would never have known which twin was doing it if it wasn't for closed captions. But Sean said he feels helpless, but he wants to help Michelle. And I'm like, listen, dude, you'd be scared to climb this hill, Jeremy. You wouldn't help Michelle at all. You'd be a liability.
Yeah, honestly. Like, but at the end of the day, like, that's what gets done. So,
yeah. Anthony is more focused on the bird than his own thing.
That's what
he's in last place.
That was the moment. That was the moment when they got eliminated right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's focused on the bird. To be fair, pretty bird. Okay. But it's like, you know, you're in last place. You switched the detour 10 times. You're racing for your life. It's like, dude, I would be pulling the fucking plants out of the by its roots and just shaking the shit, like, just so it could go. Like, he's looking at the bird. I just figured at that point that Michelle and Sean had probably already left and they knew that they were dead last. That's kind of what I thought. And maybe it was just some tricky editing on their slide. The rain is making it slippery and Michelle's going to basically slip through the mud at the end there. She was like, I'm coming. And she like grabs a tree to like basically rappel down, but she's going to slide all the way down and completes it. And then Anthony is also going to finish it after Michelle. Now, the editing makes it feel like this is completely close, but I did not feel like this was even remotely close on the actual episode here. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, you would think that them switching detours as much as they did probably set them way behind. And I mean, it looked like they got to the roadblock with a chance. You know, it didn't seem like they were so far behind from Double Dutch, but
yeah, I think they really were gonna need somebody to like mess up their navigation for them to be able to survive.
Yeah, I think and they weren't going too far, so it wasn't like, you know, but that's the thing about this the race is that like there's very little margin for error, and you know, the teams are so tight close together, like we saw at the mat, like third through eighth was all in one, you know, in one sitting. And whether or not they stretched that to make it look like it was like closer than what it actually was, we don't know exactly. But what I'll say is I think that, you know, that like that's kind of like I wish the race was a little bit more different in terms of like having more opportunities to get ahead or fall behind. And that's what you don't get in this COVID restriction season is for those moments to happen. So it really does come down to these tasks. And if you don't finish that task, you know, before the other team, chances are you're probably going to lose. So that was the case in this episode. And it's going to be the case probably for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I do think the casting is so good. I think that is the real positive that I take away from the season so far. The casting is really good. The leg design, I think, is a little wonky, but they only have so much to work with, right, because of the restrictions they had at the time. But it also makes you really appreciate season 35 even more so. But a couple things I do want to touch on before we head out. When we get to the pit stop here, Ricky and Caesar are going to win this leg, and they are going to win the Expedia One Key Cash, which is good for the five-night trip to Cape Town, South Africa. And, Jeremy, they get to swim with the sharks in the cage.
Yeah. Great prize to win.
Yeah.
Maybe it's their honeymoon trip.
I think it's much better than Lisbon, which is where Rod and Letitia got last week. I'd much rather go to Cape Town. I think I'd be a little scared to swim with the sharks, but I definitely would do it. And I think it's got to be expensive to do that, too. So good for them. Amber and Vinny, they check in second. And Phil says they get to leave with the first group. So even though I was annoyed with the grouping, we're going to see it again next episode and probably for the foreseeable future. We have a montage of teams trying to find Phil. I think it seemed like third through sixth was going to be really up for grabs here. But the grandparents are going to get third. Rod is going to find the pit stop before Letitia. He's going to yell for her. But then we're going to see Juan and Shane basically jump off of this like brick cement area, and they're going to basically, one of them's going to fall completely down right in front of Letitia, but they're going to get up and make it there. Jeremy, like, you don't want to get medevac from the Amazing Race.
Oh, no. You don't want to get medevac from anything.
Definitely not.
But let alone the Amazing Race. So, yeah.
Rod and Letitia, they are going to get in fifth. Yvonne and Melissa, sixth. Sunny and Busy are going to get seventh, while the cousins get eighth. Danny and Angie are going to get ninth. And then we have the foot race between Double Dutch and the twins. Michelle's gassed at this point, probably because she's been carrying the entire team on her back. And Sean is going to bust his ass getting to the mat. And I thought that was funny. But the twins are going to get eliminated. And listen, I give him some credit here. They finished leg. Like, Phil did not have to go out there and, like, meet them on the leg and eliminate them. So even though they switched the detour a lot, at least they got to complete it, Jeremy.
Yeah. That's more than what some other teams have been able to do. So that is like, that's like my biggest fear if I went on the race, is like, I would not want, like, I would at least, I would not want Phil to come, you know, pick me up from the race. Oh. Like, I want to get as close, like, if you're going to go out with a bang, go out swinging, you know, don't go out and, you know, have Phil come pick you up.
There's no shot that Phil doesn't eliminate me on the race, because when we get to the dance task, I'm not completing that, you know, unless it's a roadblock and my partner can do it. No shot that I'm going to be able to complete that. So I definitely think that he would eliminate me. But next week, Jeremy, they're going to be doing some paragliding. And the first thing I thought about was Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Sean, you know, they are clearly the team that is, going to be under a microscope in the next leg. And if they're not leaving Colombia, which it doesn't seem like they are, we're not sure exactly if they're going to have much of a, like, I don't know how they're going to leave the next leg or anything, but yeah, so they got to beat somebody, otherwise they're going to be next. So, Sean's going to have to pick it up, get it together, and try to beat one of these other teams. And maybe it'll be Angie and Danny. Maybe it'll be the cousins. If you had to ask me, one of those three or the field, though, I'd probably take one of those three.
Yeah, I would think so as well. But you never know what could happen next week. It seems like there's a lot of mental challenges, at least from the preview. It looks like there was a rebus puzzle, something we have to get something in sync, decode something. So who knows? It could be a very puzzle heavy course, and that can really shake up a lot. It could be something that, unlike the physical stuff, you don't know if you're going to get, you know, eventually, right? So there may be a little bit of dissension there. But it seems like Vinny and Amber, they're going to argue. They're going to reach a breaking point. And listen, I hate to sound toxic, Jeremy, but I love when the couples argue.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I would say, you know, we're getting to that point. This is only the second day of racing. Let's remind ourselves that, you know, the Puerto Vallarta leg was the two episodes in Puerto Vallarta was one day. So as we get on, you know, the fatigue's going to start to set in a little bit more, and we're going to start to see these teams, you know, really start to get it under each other's skin.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm very excited to continue covering the race. And if you're interested in our other coverage, me and Jeremy, we just wrapped up a Survivor podcast as well. That's also going to be in your feed. Next week, we'll be talking about the Challenge All-Stars 4. So make sure you're checking us out. Feel free to leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about the episode. You can follow us on our social media pages at Reality Daily Pod, P-O-D. All right. Until next time.